Welcome to Automate IT's Lunch Hour, Tech Talk, where we take deep dives into smart manufacturing and automation and explore cutting-edge technologies and trends revolutionizing the manufacturing industry. With me, as always, Dallas Hoard with Automate IT. Dallas, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, inaugural podcast.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
The start of many to come, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So for all those watching and all those that'll see clips and everything like that, give us a little background as to your role with Automate IT and, and your background.
Yeah. So I've been in the manufacturing industry for about 6 years now. The first 3 years of that was actually out on the plant floor in a production capacity in one of our local manufacturing facilities here in Springfield. And in the past 3 years, I've been working on the distributor and the SI side, just working with facilities to come up with solutions to problems that they're having, whether it's, you know, operationally or in production, just looking into what they're doing, getting our engineering team involved and coming up with a good solution moving forward.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Problem solver.
That's all I try to do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and today we've got an esteemed guest with us from Rockwell Automation, Mr. Andy Stump. Andy, how you doing today, buddy?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing well. Doing well. Excellent. So, Andy, for all the folks out there, kind of give us a little background as to what your position is with Rockwell and what you do for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on the show today, guys. So my name is Andy Stump from Rockwell Automation. Been with the company about 27 years, a lot of different roles over that time in the services business, having, you know, done and implemented through to running some of our software product businesses. And now I'm part of a business development team within sales and marketing and working to bring new technologies and new innovative products to our customers.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, once again, between both of you, we got a lot of problem solving going on. So, you know, today we're going to be talking about the state of smart manufacturing, specifically the ninth report that Rockwell has released, the ninth annual State of Smart Manufacturing report that was released just a short time ago, first week of April, I believe. So, you know, we've all had time to digest a little bit. There's a ton of information there, right? Just a tremendous amount of information. Me being the technology geek that I am, I completely geeked out on it for at least a week and a half, guys. I got to be honest with you. It was a lot of overload, but so much great information. Okay. But really today, what I thought we would talk about is really four main points. But, you know, Andy, kind of tell us how, before we get into that, but kind of tell us how Rockwell views that report and how it came about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when we look around, you know, the manufacturing space, it's always really interesting to get the perspectives of global decision makers in the space, to get a pulse on the things that are top of mind for them, where they're looking to invest, the types of solutions they're looking to put in place across their enterprises in the coming year and years. So Rockwell Automation puts together this smart manufacturing report to do just that. We go out, it's about over 1,500 global leaders around the world. It's a mix of all regions around the globe, a pretty balanced mix of industries, but very heavily skewed to decision makers, to leaders that control budgets, control making decisions about what they're going to do with technology adoption and bringing new innovation into their organizations, because we want to hear from those that are making those decisions. What is top of mind? What are they doing today? What are their biggest risks and challenges? And where do we see, you know, the next 12 to 24 months playing out for the things they're looking for within the report? So that's the composition of the report and the data that we'll find in it.
Absolutely. So really a couple of things that I took away from the report you just hit on. It's not just US centric. We're talking about a global view because we are a global economy. And the detail that they go into on all these topics is outstanding. Of course, we during and after this podcast, you can go to Automate IT's website and download this report that we're talking about. But once again, if we were to touch on everything in that report, Andy, how many hours would we be on this? You know? So really, before we dive in and cover really the four main points, Dallas, kind of take us down what Industry 4.0 means.
Yep.
and how that applies to smart manufacturing, kind of where we've been and where are we going.
Right. I think that's a good way to start because, you know, we've had a lot of discussions with facilities, you know, even just over the past year, you know, the past several months. And when you ask the question, you know, where does your facility stand as, you know, Industry 4.0 is concerned? And a lot of facilities, and not really their fault, but a lot of facilities don't even understand what Industry 4.0 is.
Yeah, it's jargon, right?
Exactly.
What's the slang you're talking about?
Exactly. So I think it's good to take us back, you know, to the very beginning, you know, our first industrial revolution, right? And we've had, you know, we're into our fourth industrial revolution at this point, Industry 4.0.
Okay.
But each one of these revolutions are building on, you know, milestones and things that happened in the previous, right? So in our first industrial revolution, we started to harness the power of steam, and we started to get into, you know, mechanical tools and machines. And then our second industrial revolution is when we have electricity, and we're able to use that electricity to create assembly lines and now start this mass production. And then Industry 3.0, or the third industrial revolution, is where we brought computers, PLCs into the equation, and we're able to start automating a lot of these processes. And then now, Industry 4.0 is where we're taking everything that we've had before and we're combining it into this connected enterprise. Okay. Where now we have software, now we have AI, we have cybersecurity, we're collecting data, we're using that data to make business decisions, to find bottlenecks into, you know, in our production systems. And so it's just this connected enterprise that we have now, with a lot further automation, you know, with robotics, that's Industry 4.0. And, you know, as we've talked, we have a lot of facilities, not just around our area, but across the nation that are, you know, they're still stuck in Industry 3.0. And it's a little bit overwhelming to even think about jumping into 4.0.
You bet. Absolutely. And we'll get into a few of the sticking points. And that's really the four main points we'll talk about today that are perceived hurdles, right, Andy, that some of our customers and our manufacturers in our scope, that they perceive these as hurdles to getting to that 4.0. And really, they're just part of the wheel, really. So really, when we're talking about that, the first one we come to is the hurdle of deploying and integrating new tech. And, you know, when we talk about that, we're talking a lot about software and hardware, but also how they kind of interconnect. Yep. So, you know, Andy, what is Rockwell's take on that deploying and integrating new tech portion of that report?
Yeah, you know, technology has hit tipping points on so many fronts, right? Our industry notoriously is a bit slow in adopting new things, making change, just because we're risk averse in manufacturing, right? We have to keep production running. We have to keep manufacturing flowing. So there's always a bit of hesitancy. But what we're seeing is leadership around the world understanding and realizing how technology has to be embraced to get that next step in productivity, that next step in quality. And no one wants to be left behind on that front. So, you know, the report, you know, kind of calls that out. You know, things like artificial intelligence, you know, we kind of make the statement that the AI revolution is here. And I think leadership understanding and seeing their personal lives and in our consumer lives, how AI has taken hold, what that means. And there's now that feeling that it's, you know, you can bring it in, you can pilot it, you can try it, you can get quick value with technology in manufacturing without, you know, risk, without, no, there's always risk, but you got to manage it, right? With managed risk to bring technology in to get that value.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were just even before getting on here, Andy, we were talking about in our daily lives now, I use probably 7 different forms of AI just yesterday on personal and business, right?
Yep.
And we'll discuss that a little bit more as well. But as far as, you know, when manufacturers are saying they, you know, have a cloud or a SaaS solution, you know, really, what are you seeing when you're talking to customers about that right now?
Yeah. So I think that when you're talking about that software as a service solution, you know, it's can be a little bit overwhelming, you know, in the manufacturing industry, because if you look, there are so many different pieces of software out there. They do very similar things from different vendors. And so from a lot of plants, it can be difficult because at first you have to identify what's the problem. What is the problem? And there's actually a lot of problems probably in the facilities. And so there's a lot of really good pieces of software out there that solve many at a time, but it's just at the beginning, identifying that problem. And if you think about like AI, like Andy was talking about here, AI is the future, right? It's there's a lot of amazing things that you can do with it. One of the most prevalent ways that we're seeing AI used right now at automated is in a predictive maintenance capacity. You know, for instance, there's AI software that can analyze sensors that you have as a part of a process. Maybe you're analyzing your temperature or revolutions or PSI, vibration. There's a lot of facilities, they have some very important processes that if they were to shut down, it stops everything behind it and maybe everything in front of it as well. Mm-hmm. And so there's actually a facility. It's a tire manufacturing facility for the aircraft industry that deployed this predictive maintenance technology, AI technology, on a process within their facility. And due to that AI being able to analyze the tools and give alerts of when maybe they were about to have a problem, this facility had zero unplanned downtime over the course of 16 months.
Wow, that's
incredible. Which is impressive.
Yeah, very much so.
It's really cool. And so I think in some areas, AI is here and we're able to implement it. And then in other areas, it's getting there. It'll get there.
Okay. So really what we're talking about here also, and quote me if I'm wrong here, but a lot of the industry 3.0 stuff that was already in place, mm-hmm. is what that particular manufacturer was using that data. So right. They weren't really adding a whole bunch of other new stuff. They just plugged in an AI tool, mm-hmm. this digital maintenance yeah. solution tool to be able to do that. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If a lot of facilities, they already have the network, they already have the infrastructure to be able to just plug and play this software, you know, in a lot of senses, to be able to start capturing that data, because data is everything now, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's even statistics in the report that talk about how, 31% of manufacturers above the $1 billion mark, only 31% of them feel like they use 31% of their data, you know, to enhance their processes, which
wow.
is, there's a lot of growth that's still able to be there. And if you're not using some kind of, you know, manufacturing execution software or digital maintenance solution or, you know, something that is going to give you active feedback, then it's going to be hard to progress and move forward with your competitors as they're starting to do that.
So really what I've seen in our discussions, mm-hmm. and I know Andy dropped off for a second there, so he'll be back on in just a moment, but really in our discussions, the overwhelming nomenclature of our discussions has been, we don't know what we don't know a lot of times, yep. when we go into those manufacturers, mm-hmm. and it's no dig on them, us, anybody else. It is really that they have so much data, they don't know where to go with it, how to utilize it, and how to compile it.
Right.
So really, Industry 4.0, once again, quote me if I'm wrong here, but Industry 4.0 is more about connecting everything,
correct.
That you're already using,
yep.
than it is adding new stuff a lot of times.
That's correct. If you look at manufacturing in general, right, there's different verticals even inside the plant. You have production, you have quality, you have operations. Everybody's focusing on different parts of that process, right? And so their data, however they're collecting that information, whether it be spreadsheets or, you know, pen and paper, that data stays in those silos. And so operations, plant management that wants to be able to see all of that, they've got to go to multiple different places to find that. And whenever you have a great software solution, an MES, for instance, that brings it all into one, it just makes everything so much easier.
Absolutely. Yeah. So really what we're talking about is visibility, right?
Right.
And visibility can mean so many different things. It could mean a report that you get on Monday. It could mean this. But really, when I think of visibility, I think of having something like this,
yeah.
sitting out on the plant floor,
yes.
that your maintenance managers, your right. production managers, your plant managers, you can see real time information. Is that science fiction or is that?
That's it. The real time ability to pivot and make changes, or to see that, hey, we have a problem in quality, or hey, we do not have enough raw materials to even complete this order. That's where you can make very quick decisions. Whereas if you don't have that and you find out a week later, or, you know, 3 days after the fact that the entire lot that you just ran had a quality issue, that's the beauty in the software. And it's providing, the software is providing some of the highest ROI versus any single, and in fact, in the report, it even mentioned that manufacturing facilities viewed their software as a service implementations as the quickest and the highest returns on investment of anything that they did.
You bet. Yep. You bet. And that's, man, I can't begin to even quote a ton of the stats that are out there. And I know you have as well. But as far as that 27 to 37% increase in customer satisfaction, that is so high. That is ridiculous.
It is high.
Rates.
If you look, you know, I keep going back to the report, but that's, you know, there's so many different stats that can be overwhelming in there. But facilities actually mentioned that their highest priority in terms of when it comes to implementing smart manufacturing out on the plant floor, quality was a number one priority. And so which is important, right?
Yeah, obviously, absolutely.
It keeps your customers coming back. It probably keeps the audits to a minimum. It gives you the ability to go and earn new business. But yes, if you have the, you know, some kind of quality management system that you can use, for instance, we use Plex by Rockwell, right? Plex has a quality management system, and they have some amazing, statistics that show just an increase in quality. I think one of the statistics was a 48 to 52% decrease in scrap or bad quality products, which is huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as far as looks like we have Andy, are you with us, bud?
Guys, I'm back.
Okay. There we go. So, hey, what's an initial podcast without some technical difficulty, man. Right? So
we were saying earlier, you know, doing something like this really gives you an appreciation for any time like an award ceremony does something live or like The Voice, you know, it's just it's fun.
You got it. So, on our back end, is he trying to come in on his phone? So as far as, talking about the top list, you know, you mentioned quality. Mm-hmm. Quality being the number one. What was something that broke into that top echelon of concerns that blew your mind?
Yeah, so thanks for setting me up perfectly.
You got it.
No, cybersecurity. For the first time, cybersecurity jumped into one of the top five of internal obstacles, or I'm sorry, external obstacles. They have internal and external, which kind of blew my mind because cybersecurity has been a problem for a while. But, according to the report and this poll of manufacturing facilities, now it's officially in the top five. That was a surprise to me. Andy, was that a surprise to you that this is the first time that it's jumped into the top five?
Yeah, you know, not a surprise. Not a surprise at all. This is part of, you know, we hear these conversations every day about risk, challenges, that are going on. And I got to ask, guys, can you hear me? Cause I'm not sure what's going on with the connection here, but I apologize.
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, fantastic. All right, apologize for the technical challenges there. So yes, I'm not surprised about cybersecurity. You know, we have these conversations with leaders all over the world, and you know, it is top of mind. It is something that they think about every day. It's what keeps them up at night, and it becomes even much more of a pervasive concern as they start to embrace technology, bring innovation into their facilities, starting to connect the plant floor up to the systems. So it's something that we've expected, and it is here. It is a top concern.
Yeah, I guess I should go back and reframe. My surprise, or why I'm feeling surprised, is the fact that it wasn't in those top five, you know, years earlier. Ago.
Yeah, from the get-go.
From
right?
the get exactly.
Blew
yeah.
me out of water, yeah. So tell me about an example of cybersecurity. I know because everybody talks about it, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it's important. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it's a hot button. Yep. We hear it on the news.
Yeah.
Tell me a real world example.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the first thing I think of is we have a local municipality that, you know, infrastructures, especially in municipalities, are getting attacked all the time, right? And so we had a local municipality that came to us recently acknowledging that they might have some easy ways for a cyber attack to get into their infrastructure. And so what they've had us do is we went on site and we did multiple assessments for them. Actually, we did an assessment of hardware that they have, you know, their PLCs, their VFDs that are on connected to their network. We did an assessment of their network as a whole, where they may have some vulnerabilities. And now we're working on, okay, we've done our assessment. We know our vulnerabilities are. Now we're working with them on, okay, what's the next step moving forward? Is it migrating some of these legacy pieces of hardware? Is it, you know, updating firmware maybe on some of the hardware? Is it, you know, adding some different firewalls or whatever it may be within their network? But a lot of facilities, they know that they have problems. And sometimes they may even know exactly where that problem is. But, you know, where we've seen in just talking with facilities over and over is you have IT and OT, right?
Yep.
And IT speaks a language and OT speaks a language. And where there's this value when you have a company like Automated, us come in there because we speak IT and we speak OT. And but a lot of times that those conversations and their ability to bridge the gap between IT and OT. IT wants to own the network, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, and they should.
Absolutely.
But OT has processes. They have software. They have hardware out there that they can't migrate from right now, whether it's due to budget or whatever it may be. So we act as that bridge to make sure that everybody understands what's going on both sides, mm-hmm. and that's where we've seen a lot of success.
Absolutely. So as that interpreter, as that value-added reseller for Rockwell as well, mm-hmm. we're bridging the gap between all three entities,
yep.
right? Ourselves, those two, IT, OT, the yep. whole nine yards.
Correct.
So, you know, as always, communication is key. You know, when we're talking about, you know, another pain point, if you want to call it that, another hurdle, like mm-hmm. we were talking about earlier, that we were really zeroing in on that smart manufacturing report, Andy, was, you know, the lack of skilled labor force. How right. is Rockwell interpreting that from that report as well?
Yeah, the labor shortage, the skills, upskilling is top of mind for leadership, right? And it really comes in two parts that we see clearly in the report. The first really is about, you know, acquiring talent, bringing new talent into the organizations with the skills they need. One of the top skills that leadership are looking for is related to cybersecurity, related to technology, and being able to, you know, use and apply those technologies in their facilities. And I'll loop back to that in just a second, but the second is around how do they upskill their employees, right? They have great employees. They need to upskill them to learn to use the technology, to embrace some of the cybersecurity best practices. But what comes out of the report on both of those is the need for help, right? And that's where, you know, within the ecosystem, manufacturers are looking to partners. They're looking to, you know, companies like Rockwell Automation, Automate ID to come in and be that trusted advisor for them, to help give them guidance, to help upskill their employees, and to find and implement some of these solutions to get them value.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, is because this, I mean, if we're like just being honest, this mm-hmm. lack of skilled labor force or just labor force in general, probably not going to get much better, right?
Right.
I mean, right. if you, I think that one of the ways that manufacturing facilities can probably help that is by adopting new technology, right? Because, I mean, look at, for instance, I'm mid-30s, right? I have children. We all have children that we're raising. Well, my 3-year-old and my 4-year-old, they can get on a laptop, an iPad, and they can navigate that, which is kind of, you know, crazy.
Right.
But so you have a generation now that's growing up used to new technology, used to that technology being a part of their daily life,
yeah,
right?
Not new to them.
No.
It's their world.
So tell me, why would you know these younger generations want to go and work in this manufacturing facility where there's a ton of manual processes? There's not any new technology that they can use. This AI that they're surrounding themselves with every day, it's not any part of the process within the manufacturing facility. And I feel like the facilities that do a really good job of embracing new technology, AI or automation or robotics, you know, all these different ways, all these different smart manufacturing, you know, facets, when they adopt them and they can do a good job of putting it out there, like we have some local facilities that are using commercials saying, come work for us with, you know, we have the latest technology, we have the latest processes. I feel like that's just one easy, maybe not necessarily easy way, but just another tool in their belt to maybe start to generate more interest in getting people through those doors.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think about that, it was over 12 months ago that I heard this stat, and it came from Rockwell, as a matter of fact, that there was over 500,000 manufacturing jobs open in the U.S. last year. Once again, with Industry 4.0, this isn't an effort to eliminate jobs.
Right.
This is an effort to make sure that we're competitive in the worldwide landscape, for one, but also utilizing the existing workforce to be more skilled and to utilize that workforce that's there already.
Yep.
Plus, like you're talking about, bring in new folks with the added technology as well. So it's absolutely a way to make that happen. So, you know, probably the biggest elephant in the room, right?
Is the board behind us.
The board behind us.
No. I got a question though, actually.
Yeah.
Before we get into this, and this is for Andy. Andy, what do you feel like are the consequences of a facility not embracing, you know, smart manufacturing? You know, is it lack of skilled labor force? Is that furthered? Or, I mean, what do you see happening for facilities that fail to adopt this smart manufacturing mindset?
Great question.
Yeah, we see the concern of just being left behind, right? Not getting that next tier of productivity. You know, in manufacturing, getting another decimal spot of improvement in quality, or, you know, a few more, you know, ounces are amazing implications to their bottom line. And the absence of adopting the technology and not getting that against their peers runs the risk of losing out, and no one wants to have that happen. So that is the fear. That is the risk of not embracing technology to get that next step ahead from competition.
Yeah,
couldn't agree more. And, you know, I've seen a lot of initiatives within within Automate IT, within Rockwell, of reaching out to that next generation as well through educational channels. You know, when we're talking to local universities, you know, what are your smart manufacturing protocols? Do you have something set up in your facility? So it's great to see that interaction within our company, within Rockwell as well. So, you know, once again, as a value-added reseller, we want to add value not only to our customers, but to our community and our in our internal organization as well.
Yep.
Attracting those individuals that see how this industry is evolving and moving forward.
Oh,
so now everything comes down to dollars and cents, right?
Yes.
If it don't make sense, it don't make dollars, right? So when we talk about the elephant in the room most of the time, guys, it's usually about budgetary constraints. Mm-hmm. You know, it's on our list. It's always, hey, that sounds great. Oh my gosh, that technology is phenomenal. I can't believe all this stuff. How much does it cost?
Exactly. Yeah.
So how do we approach that, Dallas? How do we make it make sense for,
exactly,
for our customers?
I think, you know, when you ask me that, it makes me think about a local manufacturing facility here, Fortune 100 company, actually, that, you know, we've been able to identify several needs within that facility, and they know that they have some vulnerabilities within, you know, just their, a lot of the hardware, right, that they're working on. And, you know, we've started to have some discussions about budget and this facility. They feel a little bit hamstrung because corporate has their initiatives that they want that local plant to do. And those initiatives, they eat up a lot of the budget that this plant has. And so what we're helping them identify is, okay, where can we buy, where, what's the lowest hanging fruit in the facility that's going to give us the biggest return on investment? And when you start taking that approach of, hey, where can we make the biggest difference? Maybe it does, it's not the most glamorous or the biggest project, but there are all sorts of things that you can identify that are just small inefficiencies or small bottlenecks that just a little bit of a change in that process could yield huge results. And that's part of what we try to do, right? Is find those things. And then let's come up with the proof of concept. Let's calculate our ROI on that and give you the justification that you need, maybe to take up to corporate or maybe for the plant manager to sign off on, that makes sense for their plans specifically and where they're wanting to go.
From what I'm gathering and from what I've seen, being the outside looking in at times, right? You're in the middle of it, in the thick of it. Andy's in the thick of it at all times. It's no two manufacturing facilities are the same.
No.
And so, you know, really,
because everybody's at a different place in their journey, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just like we mentioned, there's some facilities that haven't even stepped into it. Some facilities that have dipped their toes in it and got overwhelmed very quickly. And then we have other facilities that, man, they're chugging along. Like I just met with a facility the other day, at another local facility. They already have a 5-year plan of every single project that they want to do. And it was so refreshing, actually, because normally we're helping, you know, facilities develop that 5-year plan, but they knew what they wanted to do. And so everybody's at a different part of their journey. And that's where we just want to be that partner and really a consultative, you know, take a consultative approach is let's figure out where you're at now, where you want to go. It's that pain to paradise, right?
You got it.
We're going to help you figure out what the pain is and let's take you to paradise and we'll develop a plan for you.
Really the old adage of how do you eat an elephant?
That's right.
One bite at a time.
That's right.
So, but you got to have a plan. Yeah. You got to have it mapped out for sure. So, you know, Andy, what else could you add on those internal budget constraints that you see as well?
Yeah, I think your comment about having a plan is so very, very important. There's absolutely a blueprint to do this. It's go methodically, go through, figure out where value is to you and your organization and in your facility, and then start to put that plan in place. Because you know, most of the executives and most of the leaders in the report, they're not interested in these really large budget, multi-year, you know, initiatives. They want quick investment, quick return, build momentum for that, right? And it's easy to justify investment when you have successes that have been proven that allow, you know, focus and agreement to move on to those next projects. And so that is absolutely the blueprint to do it right, to have a plan. That blueprint and that mapping of where you're going allows you to take small steps on that path rather than small steps that veer you off course over time overall. You know, one of the other things we always want to stress with partners and with end users that are implementing these is really around, you know, having a plan that incorporates the people. People and change management is such an important part of any of these digital transformations, these software projects, because they're the ones who are going to use it. They're the ones that know the little steps that happen that may not be documented. So incorporate the people early and work with them on using that.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really, as far as a value-added reseller, as that ISVAR for Rockwell, really how I view it in my head is we're the ones that help you put the pieces together. You've got all the pieces already for the most part. There may be some tweaks, there may be some adjustments here and there, but it's really about putting it together and utilizing the data at hand that you already have.
Yep.
So, you know, for all of our customers that may be out there and the manufacturers listening right now or may see some of our clips later on down the road, you know, how do you start that journey of smart manufacturing with Automate IT?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Thank you.
So what we like to do, and one of the easiest ways to start that whole process, is we just do what we call a workshop. All right. And that workshop is, I mean, it involves a couple steps to it. But basically what we're going to do is we would come on site with the leadership team at the facility. Many plant managers, they have their leadership team that they use to make sure that they're, you know, they bounce off ideas, you know, whether it's a quality manager, engineering manager, production manager, operations, right? You have the leadership team. We like to come on and do a walkthrough of the facility, right? And it could be over just a specific process that facility feels like they need help on. It could be the entire process from raw goods entering the facility to finished goods leaving the facility. But what we really ask is that the leadership team, plant management, and the rest of the leadership team is a part of that walkthrough so that we can just get feedback from quality and from production and from everybody that's involved. Because whenever you can have everybody in the same room and production can hear what quality's concerns are and maintenance can hear what, you know, production's concerns are, and you have conversation that is starting, people all of a sudden start to realize, oh shoot, I didn't realize that what we're doing here is causing a problem there. You know, this process could be better for them, which actually in turn makes it easier for us. Mm-hmm. And so we do the plant walkthrough. We do, you know, some surveys from each one of the team members. We get everybody together to have a conversation. And then we all, you know, take a step back. And then as a team with our engineers and all of our subject matter experts, we come back to the facility with a list of recommendations based on their goals. And so it's just a very simple workshop that has a couple, you know, steps to it, but it can open up so much information, so much valuable information to a facility.
Mm-hmm. Collaboration is always the beginning and the first step.
Yep.
So to drive in the plan that Andy was talking about before, the blueprint, you got to have that collaboration first and foremost. Yep. So with that said, for anybody watching this podcast and anybody that sees these clips, Automate IT is running a special for them.
Yeah.
So as far as that workshop goes, so believe is it half day? Is that what we're doing?
Yes. Yeah, so the workshop is typically a half day. We don't want to take up too much of the time. We understand that is an investment of the plant leadership's time to be out there, you know, with us for, you know, multiple hours at a time. But it's needed, and it is a requirement of these walkthroughs. So yeah, we will do that at no cost. You know, okay. We're not going to charge for any time for us and several of our experts to be out there, because it's not just going to be me. It's going to be our cybersecurity expert. It's going to be some operations. It's going to be some engineering. It's going to be guys that have walked through facility after facility after facility in the same process after process after process across many different verticals. And so. What some facility may see as a problem, we have experts that may say, no, your problem might be down. This is a problem. What you're saying is a problem, but it can actually be solved, you know, later on or earlier in the process.
You bet. So, you know, let Automate IT be your solution provider.
That's right.
And let us be your problem solver.
That's right.
And your investigator all at the same time.
We're just an additional set of eyes.
You got it. You got it. And collaboration is key. So, as far as how to reach us, of course, best way is at automateit.net.
That's correct.
You can go to our contact us page. You can set up that meeting. Mm-hmm. And the first step is reaching out to us.
Yep.
Of course, my team, that's what we do. We reach out as well. And so if you hear from yourself, Eric Aguilar, Craig Morton, mm-hmm. Any of those individuals, we'll be able to help you get that path started as well.
Right.
So, Andy, would you like to add anything or in conclusion? Or
I just will add visit the Rockwell Automation website to get access to the State of Smart Manufacturing report. A lot of data in there that we kind of covered today, and other insights that we didn't cover, and that I think will be good reading and learning for all of your workshops. You know, as people are going into these workshops, and some of the questions that will come up, some of the topics you'll cover, A lot of the questions and the trends will be covered in there to start. So I would encourage people to check that out prior to the workshops.
Absolutely. And you can also find that State of Smart Manufacturing report on automateit.net's yep. website as well. And so multiple different ways to consume yep. that, right, Andy?
Fantastic.
You got it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, being our esteemed guest on our first podcast.
Yeah.
Number one. So once again, thank you. And thank you all that were watching. Dallas, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for the back end help, Rodney, of course, at all times mm-hmm. as he waves. So I hope everyone has a wonderful day, and we look forward to helping you in your Industry 4.0 journey. Have a wonderful day.